Well, please have your Bibles open at Amos chapter 8. Now, we are blessed with many different things which makes life a lot easier and life a lot more pleasant. And often, they're things that we really enjoy. Things that put that little bit of spice into life. Things that we get excited about. Things that we're willing to invest time, money and effort in. And often, a lot of our focus is upon these things which we enjoy. Things which make our lives good and pleasant. Think about the Christmas presents you may have received. The ones that you value most are the ones that you probably enjoy the most, aren't they? But a lot of the time, the things that we really enjoy are not really things that we need. There's basic needs that we all have, which are all around us, and we're so familiar with them that we often just take them for granted, don't we? Electricity. Imagine what life would be like without electricity. Maybe we ought to turn all the lights off. Heating. Shall we turn the heating off? The treasurer would like that. For those a bit younger, Wi-Fi and the internet. Oh, life without Wi-Fi and the internet. You know, there's things that are there. And we don't think about them and we take them for granted. The NHS is another thing. A wonderful blessing for our nation, which so many people moan about and take for granted. There are certain things that we really, really need, that we take for granted, and we don't miss them until they are gone, until they're taken away. And then we realize that those things that we enjoy, they're not as valuable as the things that we really need. It may be things like I've mentioned, it may be people, it may be our families, it may be our homes. But the one that I want to focus on this morning is, of course, God's Word. Something that we really, really need, but something that maybe a lot of people take for granted. God, in his kindness to us, has done many different and wonderful things for us. He's blessed each and every one of us in some way. The fact that we're alive is a blessing from God. And one of the greatest blessings that he's given us is his word. Because in his word, we find out what God is really like. Now, a clever person who isn't blinded by some of the ideas of the time might be able to look at the world and come to the conclusion that God does exist. But it's only in his word that God reveals what he is actually like. God's word is his revelation to us about who he is. In his word, we find out what God is really like. In his word, we find out why humans are the way that they are. In his word, we find out what God has done about it. The wonderful gospel message, how we're saved through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in his word, we then find out how Christians should live. God's word is absolutely essential for us as individuals, as Christians, but also for our society as well. Because God is the source of everything that is good, everything that is true, everything that is light. All love comes from God. And we can only be a moral, safe, fair society when our laws and attitudes are based upon God's words. Without God's word, there's no fear of God. And without the fear of God, our society is going to find itself in a really bad situation. And this isn't something that we've just realized. I was reading a book this week by a chap called Richard Baxter. And he said, "All wickedness hath admission into that heart or land where the knowledge of God is not the watch to keep it out." That's a little bit confusing because it was written a little while ago. But he's basically saying that the only thing that stops wickedness in an individual or in a land is the knowledge of God's word. So God's word is absolutely essential for us, individually and as a society. But in recent years, we've seen the knowledge of God's word start to decline. And as a result, our society has changed. How many of you can remember a time when it was safe for the children to play on the streets. When you could go out to a town centre on a Friday or Saturday night and not risk getting stabbed, and you wouldn't see terrible behaviour like you do nowadays. Can you remember those times? You can, can't you? We can see how our society is slowly slipping away. Can you remember the time where if you lost your wallet or your purse, there'd be a good chance that it would be turned into the police station with everything in it, every last penny? Thankfully, there are still some good, honest people who will turn things in. But that's the exception rather than the rule nowadays, while in the past it used to be the other way around. Praise the Lord that there are still some good people out there. But what we see in our land is as our understanding and awareness of God's word has declined, so have the moral standards in our society. They're slowly slipping away. So we're now at the point where biblical principles are hardly ever taught to people. We live in a time where God's word is not taught in the schools anymore. And because people don't go to church, they're now completely ignorant about things which not so long ago every single person knew something about. Now, our society knows that something is wrong. And they've got all sorts of ideas about how to tackle it. Education, employment. These things are man's ideas. Our society is the way it is because our society has turned its back on God's word. And as a result, our society is going downhill rapidly. For us as individuals, we need God's word as well, because it's only in God's word that we can find out about our Savior through reading it ourselves or hearing someone explain about who Jesus is, about his wonderful gospel. If we didn't have that, how would we come to know how we can be saved? And his word teaches us as Christians how to be the sort of people that he wants us to be. It teaches us, it guides us, it corrects us. For the Christian, God's word is our spiritual food, and we need regular doses of it in order to be healthy Christians. God's word is our greatest need, and it should also be our greatest joy. But sadly, we live in a time when the culture comes into the church more and more, so that even Bible-believing Christians are now distracted by the dazzling entertainment which this world offers us. Even though God's word is still available, and if you know where to look, you've got greater access to God's word and greater access to good theological books than ever before, thanks to the wonderful world of the internet. Even though it's there, there is a real decline in the knowledge of God's word amongst God's people today. And it's because we're constantly distracted by the things out there in our culture which seek to take us away from that. Praise the Lord that God's word is still there. If we search for it, we can still find it. But are we just taking it for granted? Will it always be there when we need it? In many ways, we find ourselves in a similar situation to that which faced Israel around 760 BC when the prophet Amos was sent from Judah up to the northern tribes. Now, I'm sure you all know in the days of Solomon's son, the nation of Israel split into two halves. Judah and Benjamin remained loyal to King David's family. They remained loyal to the temple, while all the other tribes, the 10 northern tribes, they went off and they set up their own kingdom. They started doing things their own way. And at this point in history, things were looking pretty good. They had peace. They had prosperity. It was probably the richest they'd ever been. There was not a cloud on their horizon. Everything looked good. It's just a pity that they were rotten to the core. Like an apple that looks lovely on the outside, but you don't notice that little bit where the maggot's gone in, and you bite into it and it's brown and mushy and something wriggles. That's what they were like. Israel looked good on the outside, but inside they were absolutely rotten. In turning away from King David's line, in turning away from Jerusalem and the temple, they had invented their own religion. They'd lost the knowledge of God's word. If you look carefully, you see that all those who trusted in the Lord actually migrated south when the kingdoms divided. So they were a society that had turned its back upon God's word. And the society was going rotten. It had turned to idolatry. And as we look in Amos, we see that the poor are being mistreated. We see that the land is filled with lying and cheating. We see that people are no longer keeping the Sabbath. And the result of all this is that even though it looks good on the surface, the good and true and righteous Almighty God, who cannot tolerate wrong, is going to call them to task. He's going to punish them. But our great and almighty God is also merciful. So he sends prophets like Amos to this people to warn them that they need to turn around, that they need to repent. Otherwise, disaster is going to fall upon them. If they turn and repent, the Lord will forgive. But they don't. And in the end, the northern tribes go into exile. Now, Amos 8, verses 11 to 12, we've got this fascinating aspect of God's punishment. There's various disasters happening, economic disasters, famines. There's the Assyrians, they're going to come. But there's something else there, and it's that famine of the word. God's word, you won't be able to find it in the land. At the time of writing, God's word could still be found. The prophets were there. If you looked hard for it, it hadn't completely died away. But as part of the punishment for their sin, God is going to take his word away. So that when the time of disaster comes, the people are going to realize that they need God's word. But it's gone. And they're not going to miss it until it is gone. And in that day, people are suddenly going to realize what it is they're missing. And they're going to cry out for it. But it will be too late. Instead of feeding on the spiritual food of God's word, they've been chasing after idols. Spiritual junk food. Mince pies. Chocolate. Chocolate logs. All those other wonderful things that we have at Christmas. And all those things that maybe some of us are regretting eating right now. This spiritual junk food that they've been feeding on. Spiritual junk food that had to be burnt off, that had to be removed. Stuff that has no nutritional value, just makes you feel full. This is what the people were feeding on. And spiritually, if you put rubbish in, you get rubbish out. You put good stuff in, you get good stuff out. The people had been filling themselves up with rubbish, and the good stuff, the truth of God's word, would be removed from them. And God would be the one who was doing it. So there's a lesson here for us that we must not take having access to God's word for granted. It is one of God's most precious gifts to us. And we need to make sure that we use it. Otherwise, we're in danger of losing it. So why do we need God's word? Well, we've listed them. Let's go through them again quickly. It's only in the pages of Scripture that we can find out about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's only there that we see the wonderful salvation which God has done. Secondly, on the personal level, if we want to be healthy and strong Christians, we need to really spend time feasting on God's word. For the Christian, God's word is food. Now, with food, there's some food that we really like. Other food, we're not so sure about. Brussels sprouts. Yeah, some people like Brussels sprouts, other people don't. But we know, don't we, that we need a varied and balanced diet. Some of it we may not enjoy so much, but we know that it's good for us. We need the spiritual food of God's word. And we need to have lots of it on a regular, balanced diet. So the healthy Christian is richly nourished by God's word. And that means they're prepared to take whatever this world throws at you. Think of it like this. Some of you may have traveled to countries where malaria is a problem. I know some of you may have gone out there. Now, if you're going out to a country where malaria is a problem, it's very interesting because in order to avoid malaria, you take the medicine before you catch the disease. It's called a prophylactic. It is. And the idea of these prophylactics is that if you pick up malaria, the disease is very quickly killed. And if the prophylactic doesn't quite work and you do get malaria, the disease is far, far less serious than it would be if you went out with no medication at all. God's word acts like this. When you fill up on God's word beforehand, well, first of all, a lot of the problems of this world you're going to avoid. Because so many of the problems that we have, we bring upon ourselves because we make sinful decisions. When we understand and know God's word, it guides us away from those sinful decisions. So a lot of trouble we avoid. But at the same time, we live in a sinful world and things do happen to us. And when those things do happen to us, we're in that situation where we can cope with them because God's word is there. It's in our system. And while, yes, we may have a bit of a struggle ahead of us, it's going to be far easier than the person who has never taken the medicine beforehand, the person who has not been taken that prophylactic. So as Christians, we need to be filling up on God's word today in the good times before the bad times come so that we're prepared and equipped for that time when we lose our jobs or when something happens to a family member or when we're bereaved or even when we're facing our own deaths. We need to be prepared beforehand before these disasters strike. There's no point opening the Bible for the first time when disaster strikes. Yes, God's word will help you then, but it's going to be far, far harder. We need to be people who are stocking up on God's word today so that we're able to be prepared for the day of trouble. That's what's happening in our own lives. And when we look at our national scene, we know that God's word is not being held in the esteem that it is. God's word provides people, politicians, our law courts with a moral standard, a moral compass. But today as we see those Christian principles being stripped away from our society at an increasing rate, then we see that people haven't got a leg to stand on when it comes to morals. They don't know the difference between right and wrong anymore because they've abandoned God's word. So whatever's popular, whatever is considered politically correct becomes the new good. And that's all right for today. 10 years' time, it'll be something else. And maybe what's right today will be frowned upon. We live in times where we can see that people's moral compass has been taken away from God's word. And it means now that they haven't got a leg to stand on. It means that they're up a creek without a paddle. They don't know which way to turn to work out what is good and what is right. It's not going to end well at all. We're in the same sort of situation that the northern tribes of Israel were in when Amos was sent to them. We see that people have turned away from God. And we can see that the true knowledge of God and his word is becoming harder and harder to find. Yes, we've got access on the internet to God's word, but you try and find a Bible-believing church. They're few and far between. Those of us who are older will remember a time when every town had a Bible-believing church. But nowadays, the numbers are declining, and we now live in a time when vast swathes of the United Kingdom, there's just no access to churches that really teach God's word in its entirety, God's word which talks about the problem of sin as well as what God has done. Churches that are not afraid to talk about sin and hell. who are not afraid to explain what propitiation is, how the Lord's death on the cross is a sacrifice which turns away God's righteous anger at the things that we have done wrong. It's becoming harder and harder to find churches that preach these things. So we see that God's word in our society is becoming less and less well known. We are starting to face a famine of God's word in our own land. When you look at statistics, apparently 57% of the nation think that they're Christian. 57%. Do we see 57% in the churches each Sunday? No, we don't. 57% of people, they claim to be Christian, but less than 10% of that 57% regularly attend church, regularly pray, regularly read those Bibles. And of those 10% who go to church, read their Bibles and pray, even less will go to Bible-believing churches. We live at a time when 39% of people in England are unsure if Jesus ever even lived. Isn't that amazing? Unsure if Jesus ever even lived. And some people, they will say, he didn't ever live at all. We're in times just like what Amos was warning about. When God's word is still there, but you've got to dig for it. You've got to search for it in order to find it. But the Lord has not abandoned us to ourselves yet. So what do we do about it? Here in Great Harwood, are we in a situation to influence national policy? No. Do we have an almighty, all-powerful God who holds the rulers of the world in the palm of his hand? Yes, we do. Do we have access to him through our prayers? Yes, we do. We should pray more for our nation. We should thank the Lord that David Cameron, in his recent speech, he recognized the Christian principles that undergird our society. But we need to pray that his blindfold is removed. Because as our government takes away Christian morals from our statute books, he's just destroying that. And the freedom which we value so greatly in this land is based upon Christianity. When Christianity is removed, that freedom is going to be taken away. People are destroying the system that has given them what they value the most, and they don't understand it. So we need to be praying for our land, praying for our politicians, and praying that the Lord will give his people a hunger for his word. Because that's what we lack. We don't have that hunger for God's word anymore. And this moves us on to what we can do individually for it. We need to be people who have to take a good, hard look at ourselves and ask ourselves, are we actually a part of the problem? Are we a part of the problem? Are we willing to stand against the flow, to make a difference, to be counted? And this may involve some difficult heart searching, but it's good to look at where we stand before the Lord, to think about ourselves, because the true nature of our hearts is shown by our actions, the things that we do, the things that we invest our time, our money, our effort in. Where do you invest your time, your money, and your effort? Do you invest time in the study of God's word? How much do you value his word? Is learning about God and our Savior through his word your greatest joy? Do we recognize his word as our most basic need? Do we seek to place ourselves under his word as often as we can? Or do we just take the little pieces that we like and ignore everything that's challenging? Do we see God's word as essential for our spiritual growth? Or are you wondering when I'm going to shut up so you can have a coffee? Do we seek to take every opportunity we possibly can so that we are prepared for the days of difficulty that are sure to come to each and every one of us? Do we take every opportunity that we can to come along and place ourselves under God's word? While not everyone can attend every church meeting that we have, do you try and attend as many as you possibly can? If you want a New Year's resolution that is really good, try coming along to an extra church meeting each week. I know that some people, they come along to every meeting that they can and they can't. But I know that other people, they could come along to more. And we've got all sorts of meetings. There's another service tonight where we'll be breaking bread together. There's Wednesday afternoons. There's Thursday evenings. All sorts of other meetings which are put on. Opportunities for you to sit under God's word and learn more about it. What are your quiet times like? I've never yet met a Christian who's happy with their quiet times. If any of these questions have touched your conscience, then rest assured, the Holy Spirit is at work. And what you need to do is pray about it. Admit to the Lord that this is an area where you could do better. And make sure that getting along to church meetings to sit under God's word becomes as high a priority for you as it is making sure that you go to the supermarket to get fresh milk in. We need God's spiritual food, fresh, regular as often. It may involve some changes to our lifestyle. It may involve a rejiggling of priorities, but it's more than worth it. Personally, you will not only avoid being caught out in this famine of God's word, but you will be in the position to reverse it, to help people. And it brings benefits to us as Christians. When you immerse yourself in God's word, then you become a greater witness to the people around you. You're more willing to talk about what the Lord has done in your lives. Monday morning in work, you can talk about the services that you went to at church. That beats going to the golf club or the car boot sale or playing on a computer or going fishing or something like that. You can have something really valuable to talk about. And you'll be in the situation to help correct people's misunderstandings. People believe some wild and weird and wonderful things about God's word. And they pick these up here, there, and everywhere. You know, it's like Chinese whispers, isn't it? Where people just get a fragment of the truth and then they misinterpret it and pass it on to someone else. So it just becomes garbled and no message at all. God's people who know his word can undo that and make people understand what it's really about and how much people really need the Lord Jesus as their savior. Another benefit, it prepares you for the day of trouble. It helps you, encourages you. It means that when the day of trouble comes along, and all of us, sadly, have got days of trouble in our future, you will be prepared. You will know what God's word says, so that when it comes along, he will carry you through and lift you up. Another benefit, God's word gives us the wisdom that we need to live in this complicated world that we find ourselves in. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to separate what is wrong from what is right. The more we know about God's word, the easier it is to be sensitive to the prompting of his spirit. The easier it is for us to become more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, let us be people who really value God's word, getting as much of it as we possibly can while it's still available. We don't know if we will face a real famine of God's word in this land. We don't know if the Bible will become a censored book. Things are happening today which 10 years ago they thought were impossible. Where are we going to be in 10 years' time? Our nation has turned its back on God. And God, in his wisdom, is perfectly within his rights to remove his word from our society. So we should pray that it doesn't come to this. We should repent of our own attitudes. We should be people who stand against the flow and try and make a difference. Do we seek to share God's word with the people around us through the things that we say and the way that we live? And we should desperately be praying for our land because the danger is real. The danger is there. God's word has been removed from people before, and people, they just don't realize how much they need it until it's gone. God's word is essential. Our society will only miss it when it has completely been taken away from them. Let's pray against that as a fellowship. Amen.